brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another exciting suds segment.
Do we have to?
Yes. Where we drink beer and we talk about it. Sounds easy, right? Well,
we're professionals.
You try doing two things at once. Just say it. No? No comments? No.
You guys are doing two?
I'm just drinking beer.
Did anybody else hear that rooster?
Squirrels, 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 or roosters in this case. Well, I am one of your hosts, Good Old Gal Juliana. Joining me today at the table is Good Old Boy Kendall.
I'm still trying to figure out where this rooster's coming from.
He woke up late.
He's a 2 o'clock kind of rooster.
He's on Pacific time.
He had a hard night last night.
He must have. Good old boy, Mike.
You know, I just came back from Evanston, and so I'm well attuned to this flight that we're going to go through here. So,
yay. Good old boy, Drew.
I'm sorry. The rooster's really...
It's just quite, really distracting you, man?
It's cockamamie. Yeah. You know, a little bit. Yeah.
Good old boy, Dave.
God almighty, I'm not part of this.
Do we need to put the rooster on mic? I mean, he's on mic already.
I don't
already.
Think we need to.
I
think
he's say. Yeah.
For those of you tuning in that don't quite understand, next door we have a, and we don't live in the country, though.
That's funny.
We sound like we live in the country at the moment.
That dude is going off right
he
now,
he is.
Man.
He's... Yeah.
He's letting everybody know.
Yeah. It's midday.
Is he playing Teddy Pendergrass or Beyonce? I can't really quite figure out.
Oh,
I
think we're in trouble now.
I think it's Barry White.
All right.
Barry White. Yeah.
No further pecker jokes.
Hot chocolate. Wow. Salty what?
Okay. Moving on. Today's episode is a takeover of Dovetail Brewery in Chicago, Illinois. Our good friend... Good old gal Dawn.
Wow. Hi. She made to radio.
She did.
That's right.
She was kind enough to haul these beers back to Nash Vegas for us. Good old boy Dave, why don't you tell us a bit about Dovetail Brewery?
Although we hail from Chicago, we met in Munich at the Domens Institute while studying for our master brewer certifications. While bonding over the great beers and food of Bavaria, we soon discovered a mutual respect for the traditional brewing methods of continental Europe, Rheinheitsgebot, as two educated brewers cut from similar stock. You all right there, buddy?
Not so much.
We decided to join our talents and shared vision into a stronger form, like a dovetail joint. Our goal is to produce beer of the highest quality, similar to the level of craftsmanship found in fine woodworking. We are merging continental European styles and techniques with American creativity, America, to produce the kind of beers found in small, family-run breweries in Europe.
I think there's a Lee Greenwood song in the background of this. What do you think, you know? Yeah.
I think that the dovetail joint is the classic symbol of quality and craftsmanship, Michael.
Mm.
It is what we strive to bring to our beer. As two brewers joining together, to make a stronger form.
Ooh. Oh, my gosh.
We are open-hearted alchemists.
You should invite me to this marketing meeting.
What is an open-hearted alchemist? Is that where they keep the educated brewers?
Yeah, sure.
It's where they keep people from Wisconsin.
So we savor life through a passion for brewing and brew like monks minus the vows and believe that brewing is a fine balance of art and science, hard work and fun, and not Oxford commas. We respect both traditional brewing methods and modern brewing creativity to create sublime beers that play on all the senses and uplift our customers' grammar.
So I was thinking of what would that be like at the Domins Institute for the Master Brewer certification? You know, I mean, what is, you know, when you put the grain in the pot and we boil it, and then when you're done, you pull the grain out and repeat.
I mean, it's a lot of leather pants and screaming.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. You know,
yeah. I thought they said they didn't take the vows.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you know, I just, I'm sure it's a lovely educational program, but I just, you know, how much does it take you to learn how to dump grain in and pull spent grain out that you need a master certification?
Gentlemen. There's a little bit more to it.
I'm really? Yeah, because yeah. I've met a lot of brewers and they say that's
I'm
what they do.
I'm pretty sure it's more about telling other guys to dump the grain in.
So,
and forget the grain
so management.
So you're saying you go through the class, you don't have to pull the spent grain out or put it in there.
You don't go to Germany to learn how to shovel grain. Buddy, that's all I'm saying.
Well, I will say that the Dovetail Brewery beers that we're going to be trying today.
Look at Drew keeping us on.
Include a Saison.
Nice.
A Helles Lager.
Nice.
A Vienna style.
Nice.
Lager, a Kolsch style ale.
Nice.
And I know that Dave is particularly looking forward to the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah.
All those bananas.
We might have a bonus beer or two.
I agree. Yeah.
Depending upon how bad the Hefeweizen is for Dave.
I go bananas for Hefeweizen.
Yeah. What do you call that? A porch beer? Ha.
Weak.
Thank you, Drew.
That's worthy of a rim shot.
I'm trying to emulate your voice. But
you know
here.
What? You'll go back afterwards and insert it anyways.
Might as well just get it over with.
Yeah. All right.
Did you get consent?
Yeah. Oh.
I'm not talking about the bananas anymore.
Oh, sorry. I got to keep up. The cock rooster is bothering me.
I don't ask Dave if he feels violated. I just go for it.
Wow.
Wow. All right. Good old boy, Kendall, please give us the ratings for today.
Your most German Chicago accent.
I don't think I can do a Chicago accent, but here are the ratings. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1, that sucks. Give me anything but an old style.
Nice.
2, was that a belch? 3, what a relief. 4, a body should really not make that sound. And 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
I like Kendall's, like Kevin Costner. Like they put him in a movie and they're like, "Hey, you need to do this British accent or whatever." And he still just sounds like Kevin. He's like, "I'm Kevin Costner. I sound like Kevin Costner.
I'm going to stare at the camera and brood."
Like I'm Robin Hood. Okay, I talk like this.
While staring at the camera and brooding.
Yes, of course.
Do you fall into his brooding eyes sometimes?
No, I fell into the water when the world was covered
water
in
water world.
Yeah. Mm.
Gotcha.
So I've really spent an inordinate amount of time in Chicago. I had a place in South Loop for quite a while.
That explains so much.
A lot of clients in the area as well. I used to walk across Grant Park every day. That was interesting. So I was really curious, you know, what part of town, you know, they're in. And they're in Irving Park is where they're at, which is north of town. If you keep going past Wrigleyville, as kind of where you're headed towards for this particular brewery. And, you know, I don't think they've been around too long in Chicago. There's definitely some other breweries I know that have been there for quite some time, like Goose Island. And
Really?
Revolution, you know, has been there for quite some time. So I look forward to going through this flight for sure.
All right, cool.
Alice.
One thing I got to say, love the can art because it's very simple, right?
Is it can art or graphic design?
I think it's jointery.
Or you just like the
big primary colors. Jointery. Yeah. Yeah. Primary colors. That does it for all of us, right? All right. First beer that we are going to talk about is the Saison.
All righty.
6%. Their first Saison. Brewed with 100% Pilsner malt, French Strisselspalt, and Hallertau Blanc hops.
I feel like I'm standing in a bucolic field.
By calling it your first Saison, is that like, are you challenging the universe there? Or
maybe.
Okay. I don't like that insolent tone.
And they use an expressive Belgian yeast strain. It is a rustic expression of straw and hay, grass, and white grape aromas, while open fermentation nurtures the notes of bubblegum and black pepper.
All the adjectives.
Yes.
I'm French! Why do you think I have this outrageous accent, you silly king?
Absolutely.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, good Saison.
Great mouthfeel.
Yeah.
It's super creamy. It definitely is screaming, hey, you're about to have something that's going to be nice and fresh. And
I feel like I'm walking through a lavender field in an afternoon in Provence.
Is it bucolic?
It is so bucolic.
But is it, though? I feel lots of greens.
Did you really pronounce the Stritzel spot? An Hallertau, you know, correctly? I missed that. Were you reading it?
Of course she did.
Oh, okay.
She's from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I wouldn't get those right.
They know how to read.
I thought they were Dutch.
Pennsylvania. Yeah. You keep sipping this.
Dutch.
Sipping
this. Yeah, this is sipping a nice sipper.
This is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's delicate. It's complex. It's easy.
I like that it's not overdone.
Well, we'll be back with more musings on this Saison in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Today we're doing a brewery takeover of Dovetail Brewery in Chicago, Illinois. And we started tasting their Saison before
my
the break.
My stepdad's from Paris, not big deal. He taught me how to say croissant.
How do you say flocculation? There you go.
Wow. Score one for Dave today.
Just one.
I know how to flocculate.
Don't get greedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to ask a dumb question here, but I don't normally get bubble gum out of a Saison.
Well, there's like the sugars off this have that same simple sugar component to it, where there is the aroma that they stuff on, you know, in Hubba Bubba, you know. That's what, I don't think you're getting any of the sugar component. I think you're getting the aroma of Hubba Bubba.
Okay.
Is what I would. Yeah, I'm serious.
Is that in the BJCP guidelines? Under aroma?
Absolutely. Hubba Bubba.
Not Hubba Bubba. I think bubblegum's in some of them.
Yeah.
But
juicy fruit.
The thing that I love was the aroma, just was this hay and grass thing right off the get-go. And to me, that just does nothing more than sound the trumpets to say, dude, you're about to enjoy a really
Can
good
I have some more
on.
Of this, please.
Don't you wanna, there you go. Don't That's you
wanna,
the ultimate compliment.
Don't you want to double dry hop it, though?
No.
Yeah.
I just don't want to screw around with it.
Over breakfast cereal.
You know.
Oh, well, hell, man.
I'm enjoying this, although I don't have a lot of words because it's all almost like my brain shut off and I'm just sitting here just savoring it. It's it's delicious. It. It's
cool. So we were chatting a bit, you know, at the break, and Kendall was saying, you know, that it flows with, you know, DuPont.
Yeah, I think so many saisons are DuPont as an inspiration, whether they make it exactly like DuPont or go their own way, but that's kind of the standard.
Blackberry Farm, you know, classic, you know, is a definitely a full-blown American reference standard. This is just a really, really great saison. The thing I was telling Kendall is those have more of a champagne yeast quality to them, and they're more effervescent, both aromatically as well as the mouthfeel. This is a bit more straightforward. This says farmhouse ale all day long.
I find it's also a little more versatile than those beers from a standpoint of I would eat a lot more things with this than I would with that. I could pair this with other beers or, you know, go into a wine in a wouldn't have to go to champagne. I could go to a white.
Mm-hmm. It's not as dry. I like my saisons. There's a little bit of sweetness on the finish, but I'm digging it.
I don't know why I'm thinking this is a great escargot pairing. This is a Gruyere, you know, cheese. This is what is the
pan sauce?
What is the name of that white French cream sauce that I've
bechamel?
Bechamel, yeah. This is a bechamel and ham, you know, sandwich pairing all day long.
One of them good old Chicago hot dogs. That's what I'm saying.
The neon green relish on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about some country tomato. Ham on a biscuit with butter?
I like this a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. I would definitely
order another
ham. He does have that many fingers. Yeah.
Kendall, you better go with it. This never happens. Wow.
We are going to rate the Saison from Dovetail a 5.
I have no faith.
I did have a second pour. I do really like this. I admit that. I just, not good.
And not as dry as you'd like.
And I'll bet we finish all of our samples of that one and then some. Today.
And then some, yeah.
We'll be fighting over the rest of that 4-pack.
Really pretty.
Yeah.
Really pretty. I mean, yeah.
Pretty?
It's pretty.
Is it pretty?
It's very pretty. Yeah. All right.
Is it fine?
Fine.
Yes. Is it, bonded?
Bottled and bond?
Is it alchemy?
It's alchemy.
Open-hearted alchemy?
Totally open-hearted alchemy. Yes. Well, all right.
We have to get to, Kendall's favorite style.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's go with the Helles Lager. 4.4%. Brewed especially for baseball season. Go Cubs. This Helles is the ultimate easy-to-drink beer. Multi, floral, and refreshing.
Kendall, you've been to a few baseball games this year.
I have.
Anybody serving up a good Helles at their park?
No, I did not have a good Helles at any of the ballparks. Mostly everything was hoppy or just kind of Pilsner focused.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've never seen a Helles lager at a ballpark.
Most of the games I went to were at PNC in Pittsburgh. And one of the bars there has like craft beers from Pennsylvania on tap. So going to a ballpark and getting Victory Prima Pils on tap is pretty special.
Yeah.
I wish they would have had a good Helles.
Well, maybe next time they'll import better beers from another state.
I don't know.
No, but this is a fantastic Helles.
Excuse you?
I love Dovetail and what they're doing. And this beer is everything I want in a Helles. It's just so easy drinking.
Very malty, very malt forward.
Honey.
You definitely get all this floral component. It's just a full on attack. But, you know, the sugars off this, it's just not overtly sweet. And I think that is usually what I'm on guard for, you know, with Helles is that they tend to be too sweet. And that is not the case here. This has great balance. It's, it's not overdone. It's right to style.
For me, it's like the flavor of honey without the sweetness.
It's like honeysuckle. Like go pull the little pistol out, put it on. Yep. It's like, it's not really sweet, but it tastes like honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they did a good job with this one. I think it's one of their best beers. I've been to Dovetail before, and I've got to enjoy a pint of this in the tap room.
What's their tap room like?
Just kind of, I think it's an old industrial area. Mm-hmm. It's right along the some train tracks. There's the commuter rail goes there all the time. It's on the other side of the block from the Cicerone Org HQ. So.
Right. So Dovetail, mm-hmm. it's a pretty nice joint.
Pretty nice joint.
Metro train up to Wisconsin. Yeah.
Really comes together. There's also a Nashville hot chicken place in that neighborhood.
What?
I would not recommend it.
I was about to say, is it actually Nashville hot chicken?
I don't recommend Nashville hot chicken outside of Nashville.
Nashville with a little in. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Not great.
I do want to make it clear that as much shade as I may be throwing at the marketing, the beer is delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is lovely. It is good baseball beer. It's just good everyday drinking beer.
Why I love this style. It's just beer. It's beer flavored beer, and you can put away a few.
Really hard to make a good one? Are they all too sweet? Okay. Well,
and that's
why, because I don't see enough.
I always see, Hell's Lager, like they fall into some pitfall, along the way. It's like they make it too complicated, or they're too sweet, or they infuse, flavor in it. And it's like, it should not have like this huge flavor bomb. It's a beer,
This beer is very simple. Yeah. And that's saying a lot, because to make a simple beer that tastes this good is extremely difficult.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's why you go to Germany and you study at the Dorman Institute and you learn how to be a master brewer.
Would you take the grain out and...
Well, but honestly, there's something to be said for a good German variety of beers, because it's very basic. It's about, and it's about the ingredients that you use, which, yes, a lot of people use local ingredients, but it's that balance between the hops and malt, and this, it's perfect.
I mean, we all know the Germans aren't really known for making good beer, right? I mean, totally. That's established.
True.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we are going to rate this one a 4. The Hell's Lager 4.
What the hell is?
Okay.
What the hell is this?
Yeah. Now let's go to the
very
Vienna.
Very well made beer. That last one. Yep.
We're going where?
Vienna Lager.
We're going to the Vienna. 5.1% ABV, so a little bit higher than the Hellas. Copper in color, beautiful color, by the way.
Austrians are always trying to outdo the
with
Germans.
A warm malty character, and it's made with 100% Vienna malt and Styrian Golding hops.
So I have been making my way through a Czech lager made by a local brewery here on tap at another place. And
that was a lot of helpful information.
Thanks.
It didn't matter where I was drinking it.
No free plugs.
But, the thing is that we've had a lot of it, and it's a really great beer. And the thing that I find myself every time I'm having that, I'm going, how did this not drift into being a full-blown Vienna? And because it's a lot drier than a typical Vienna, has a lot more caramel sugar, I believe, in it. And not only does it alter the general appearance, but the style of sugars are very different, I think, in Vienna versus a Czech pils or Czech lager. This one is not overdone. That's the thing I'm usually on guard for, is how sweet is this and how much of that burnt sugar thing am I getting? Kendall's nodding his head. Mm-hmm. He completely agrees with me, Dave.
Kendall is on team Mike.
Yeah.
100%.
What is that, 20? You took cash today?
Yeah. 20 will do.
Venmo. Wow.
Well, the only other Vienna lager that I've always liked and enjoyed is the one from Devil's Backbone.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
That one was not overdone either.
No. And it's hard to not overdo a Vienna lager, because everyone wants to like amp it up.
That was where my
mind
went.
Let's put more flavor in it. No, don't do that.
No, I know. It doesn't have to be overdone to be good.
And compared to the Devil's Backbone, I would say this one is a little less malty.
Yeah, I would say I thought the Devil's Backbone was a very malty Vienna.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the more balanced ones on the market, but I think that says more about the market.
Yeah, I like this one better.
Yeah.
It's not as sweet.
It's not as punchy,
I wonder if it's a lower ABV than Devil's Backbone. I don't know. Don't remember.
I don't know. I feel like this beer is well executed, but at the same time, I just okay.
You want the sugar.
I almost wonder, like, if it's suffering a little bit from coming right off of that Helles, you know? Because if the Helles was, like, about as good as that kind of beer is going to be. And then this one is a good Vienna lager, but do you like Vienna lagers as much as you like Helles lagers?
No.
No.
Yeah. So then now
you're the right.
Well, and that's what I was owning up to is that I've been drinking that Czech lager and so much of it that my frame of reference is, you know, really aligned towards that taste profile. And those, it is so good.
Those light Czech lagers are, when they're made well.
Yeah. So I don't mind telling you who that Czech lager is from, because if you're in Nashville, go to Barrique. Joel and the Clean Line crew have really made that is a very good Czech lager.
They don't stink.
So my frame of reference was, is this going to be, you know, as good or better, you know, than that?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I like the Czech lager better.
But I don't think, but see, that's well, the thing. Good thing like, it's a Vienna. That's more of a style to style comparison.
I know.
Instead of a beer to beer.
I know. And I'm saying I'm owning up to being guilty of not comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah.
That's all. So,
well, keep your apples with your apples. Oh, yeah. Mike admitted wrong. Hey, I think it's story time, yo.
Well, we have to rate this.
Can we rate this?
No.
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
We are going to rate the Vienna Lager from Dovetail a 3.
Oh. I thought it was a 3.5.
That's okay. Just me. But now it's story
time. Oh, now that you say it's story time, it's story time.
Hey, we always have something interesting to talk about here on Sip Suds and Smokes. And I have this interesting news story from NPR News. It was written by Dustin Jones. So I would invite you to go and grab maybe half a glass of beer to enjoy this story. It's a little bit long. And more importantly, I want you to listen all the way through this because it is with a sensitive subject, and I don't want you to make you think that we're not sensitive to some of the aspects of the story. But if you hang in there, you'll kind of scratch your head and you'll go, oh, I know why they picked this one. So the title of this is Long Overlooked Oregon Swastika Mountain May Have a New Name Soon. So Mount Swastika is located in a remote part of of the Umpqua National Forest outside Eugene, Oregon, named after a local cattle ranch in the early 1900s. The mountain is not well known in the state until recently.
What do you think that cattle ranch's brand looked like?
Well, that's part of the story here. The mountain will likely be renamed Mount Halo after a local tribal leader. So, yes, Dave, we'll get to your comment. Swastika Mountain is in Oregon's Umpqua National Forest in the process of being renamed after bearing the moniker for over a century due to its remote location. The mountain and its name have largely gone unnoticed until now. Joyce McLean first heard of Swastika Mountain after reading about two hikers who were rescued from the peak in January. The 81-year-old couldn't believe that the mountain could still bear that name in 2022. Wow. So she decided to do something about it. Wow.
What was her name again?
Joyce McLean. I'm sorry.
How could someone have that name in 2022?
Yeah. People need to come forward and take action. Well, I see something right inside. It needs to be changed because one person can make a difference and shows how to McLean says they be. I'm sorry, but I'm trying to channel an 81-year-old woman.
In Oregon.
Pissed off with the word swastika.
I think you're doing pretty good.
She reached out to the Oregon Historical Society and the Oregon Geographic Names Board, filling out the paperwork to propose a name change. Carrie Tumchuk, Executive Secretary of the Historical Society. Boy, you got that job by how? said McLean is the first person, the most expendable crew member, right? Who would like to do this?
One of the red shirts from Star Trek.
Wow. Yeah. Did I put my hand up? No, but you're it. So it is not very well known mountain, and frankly, I don't know that there was one. Tumchuk told NPR, "It is a national forest, not accessible to many people like Mount Hood or Mount St. Helens. It's not very well known throughout the state, and the vast majority of the people likely will never knew that it was there to begin with. So
not a lot of geography buffs in Oregon.
I said the mountain was in a nearby town were named Swastika in the early 1900s. That's a really important point. Long before the Nazis.
Yep.
After a local ranch that bore the name and used the symbol to brand the cattle. So according to the U.S. According to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum, the symbol signified well-being in multiple ancient societies across the world.
Yeah, Sanskrit.
Until it was co-opted by Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
Despite its innocent origins, Tomchuk said that it's important to consider what a geographic feature is called and what the name represents. Wow, she in charge of the whitewashing committee. What we name things, our features, reflects history and also reflects values. And as history changes, so do values. Wait, what? You want to change history? All right. So he said, and certainly something bearing the name of Swastika in 1903 is different than in 2022, when it's been associated with such an evil person and evil ideology. The Historical Society and its board are considering renaming it Mount Halo, named after Chief Halido, and I'm going to mispronounce this, and I'm sorry, the Yankala Kalapuya tribe. McLean had proposed naming it the Umpqua Mountain. She withdrew her suggestion because nobody could spell it correctly.
I have a new headline. 81-year-old woman discovers Google Maps.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, there you have it. They wanted to rename a mountain.
Can you imagine, like, if Hitler had picked, like, a four-leaf clover or a smiley face?
Word emoji.
What would that have done Ireland?
If it had been an emoji, you know, and nobody could use that emoji anymore? Yeah.
Just like, turn it a little bit to hashtag,
yeah,
right?
There you go.
Or like a heart shape. Like no one could ever, like, I heart you. It's like, what? You Nazi
man? What? That is just horrible. Yeah. I agree, Dave. You know?
Yeah.
So think about the long term implications when you're going to be a cruel, evil dictator.
It just takes one jerk.
Think about the long term aspects of what you're doing.
Exactly.
Oh, we'll be back in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So, we're doing a takeover today of Dovetail Brewery.
Did we need to talk about Swastika Mountain a little more?
In Chicago, Illinois.
Blitzkrieg?
But right before the break, we were talking about Swastika Mountain.
Yeah, you know, it was a little, when I first, you know, was reading through this storyline, I was a little concerned, obviously. We're not politically driven, you know,
or any of those things.
Yeah, usually talking about, you know, whitewashing history is not our jam. So, I don't know, it was just an interesting choice that Joyce was making, you know. It's like
that was the hill she chose to die on.
It reminds me. So right now, in Florida, the thing that everybody's protesting, where they are putting in all of these roundabouts in every place that you would have a red light or a four-way stop,
because it's un-American.
and the part of Florida where I'm in, the one roundabout that is like this major intersection, it is the one part of the entire county that has more accidents in it than any other part of the entire county. So everybody is just up in arms. They're like, these European roundabouts, you know, are just horrible. We have to get rid of these. They're so un-American.
It's just bad at driving. Is part of that maybe that Florida's full of really old people from...
Probably no. People like Joyce that have like a gazillion opinions and they yeah. want to get up each day and going, let's go down and get rid of that turnaround.
Roads aren't supposed that to be roundabout. Round. They're supposed to be square.
They identify as HOA presidents. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. For sure. Absolutely. Right. That is totally it.
You guys are wrong.
In fact, that's the way they introduce themselves to others. Hey,
according to Robert's Rules of Order, you need to check in first.
My name is Joyce. I am the president of the HOA of Sunnyside. You know, that's exactly how they introduce themselves as well. Like, that is the pinnacle of their entire contribution to society as being the president of the Homeowners Association, for sure. So, yeah. It's like, you don't even have to ask, why do you introduce yourself that way? You don't even go there. You're like, oh, of course, I know you. You're the one that sits around watching Price is Right going, they're wrong. Writing a 10-page memo, to the Price is Right going, I don't think that was the price.
$24.99, I remember when you could get that for $15.
P.S. Bring back Bob Parker.
I'm telling you, it's like going back and do you want to rename the critters of the forest, because they might, share the name of some, evil dictator, I don't know.
Feel like there's a personal story there where you were hurt one day, Mike, and when you're ready to talk about it, I'm here for you.
Yeah. I need more beer.
Okay.
I need a good Kolsch is what I need more than anything.
Speaking of that.
Oh, yeah. Really? Good transition.
Let's get to a Kolsch. Interesting. Why is it that when you see a Kolsch on tap or you see a Kolsch in a can, what is it? What about the green? It's always about a green.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it was a branding component of the way that they used to do that in Germany. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this one is 4.6% ABV. It's a happy beer. It's sessionable and it makes you want to have... Happy.
Mike's about to explode.
It makes you want to have glass after glass. Fruity, floral, and crisp.
I usually have that feeling after a certain ball game, but
it is all of those. The one word I always think of when I'm thinking of a Kolsch is delicate. And this is delicate.
I would say the first thing I think of when I think of Kolsch is crisp. I really want that super crisp lager, finish on the back end of this. I want just a hint of some lemon and bitterness, that has that citrus and rind to it.
First thing I think of is, did they say hyphen style? Because if they didn't, there are going to be some really mad people out there.
Yeah. Ooh. You're not in cone. You can't make a Kolsch.
Are you saying that the Oxford comma can't be utilized in this
I think also like people get weird. Like if someone says it's a lager, well, it's really not a lager. It's a cold fermented. It could be a lager. It's a cold fermented ale.
Sure.
Honestly, but
still,
people go crazy about that. Like, there's bigger problems.
But I have people go, compare this to Little Kings, which is a cream ale. It's not even remotely close.
It's not in a tiny bottle.
Not in a tiny green bottle.
Right. Correct.
Is it because it's green?
I don't know.
I like this beer.
Personally, it's too sweet and creamy for me.
This beer.
Yeah,
that's because you're Kolsch. Too sweet already. Yeah. Mike's such a sweetie.
He just dipped his finger in it.
Yes, it is.
Okay, isn't the thing about a Kolsch, though, isn't it supposed to have a little sweetness?
A little sweetness.
Because it kind of reminds me of my box are similar to me in the sense that it has that little bit of like honeyed sweetness. Mm-hmm. And a good Kolsch has that little bit of honeyed sweetness.
Yeah, it needs to be drier.
And then dries out in the finish. But I'm getting that.
But in the beginning.
I like honey on saltine crackers. I'm weird. This reminds me of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All those flavors are there.
Perfect, actually.
I do not like this Kolsch.
Well, we had to... there were two beers in a row that you kind of liked. So, I mean...
We're a win for today.
It was bound to end at some point.
So. We're saving the berries for later.
Yeah. But this is...
the berries.
Okay, but the thing too is how many Kolsches have you had in your life? This is not an everyday...
Never challenge Mike.
Were you in several
dozen?
Yeah.
Okay, but whatever.
Kendall's had probably had several dozen.
Fine.
Last week, actually, when he was in them.
Okay, I think it's a decent Kolsch. And for everyone besides Mike, we're going to rate this a 3.
Yes. In spite of Mike. That should be the new name of this show.
In spite of Mike.
It could be a new segment. In spite of Mike segment.
I have a feeling our Canadian audience would have picked up by probably 18% points.
We could write stories like this and just title it the In Spite of Mike.
In spite of Mike, yeah.
And was it a story that we went out and found online? Did we create it?
I really need some porch juice. That's what I need next.
Yes. All right. Porch juice. I like that.
That's going to be your next homebrew.
Next
Hefeweizen make, you're going to call it porch juice.
Let me tell you something. Can we go ahead and rate this next beer one?
Okay. Stop. Right
before we even taste
extra prunes.
What we are talking about next, folks, is the Hefeweizen
style.
Yes.
I can't even smell it.
Okay. 4.8% ABV. Easy to drink with a lingering, pleasant aftertaste. A rich, yolky orange wheat beer. I've never heard that term before.
Yolky is not something I would describe a beer with positively, generally.
Featuring the aroma of clove and fruit in perfect balance.
Which fruit?
Refreshing on a warm day with a hint of mandarin orange-like acidity.
Honeydew. Wow, this is not a good hefe. It is too watery, I think, is probably the first thing that's getting at me. And I don't like the front end. I didn't particularly care for the aroma.
He don't like the front end. He don't like the back end.
He's got some problems with what's going on in the middle there, too.
Yeah. To add on to what Mike is saying, this is a really good hefe. I'm really enjoying it. Got a nice mouth feel. The banana is muted, which I don't like overly banana, which is why I'm really digging this. This is a good hefe.
So you like the hefe that doesn't taste like a hefe? Is that what you just said?
That was my first thought.
What you just said.
See, like everything Kendall said is why I don't like it.
What? So you want the banana?
I want all banana. All the banana.
This explains
a lot.
You're
such a minion.
I mean, there's so many hefes are just over the top banana, and I feel like it's kind of muted in this one. I don't like that.
I hate to admit it, but I actually like this beer because of what you said. Like,
I think the mouth
is not over the top.
Yeah,
you know,
this is not soft. I mean, I always think of wheat beers as being kind of pillowy, and you know, they're all kind of soft.
Did you pour Mike the wrong beer?
Yeah, I don't know, but this is not. I'm sorry, but.
Okay, hold the phone.
Pillowy and soft does seem a bit excessive. Hold the phone.
Okay, so I'm going to speak for a second. I really like this one too. A, because it's not overly banana, but B, the clove on it is not overdone, but it's not there.
Dejarum.
No, but it's there and it lingers throughout the entire thing, and it's.
Go ahead. Wow. I'm going to let you finish.
He's not going to be invited.
Okay,
back,
Kanye. Right?
Oh.
You're doing the same thing. You're saying, I love everything about this beer that is not a Hefeweizen. I love the fact that it's not a banana bomb. I love the fact that it's not overdone.
Those things are a hefe. This version of a Hefeweizen is what it truly should be.
I agree with everyone else. I think this is more authentic because of the German influence they got in school. And too many American Hefeweizens are just over the top.
Right.
I always wondered why there were so many Hefeweizens with as bad as so many of them are with the banana.
Because maybe the American palate wants bananas.
Yes. I think
Jack Daniels.
Those things that you say they're not in here, all are hallmarks of a good Hefeweizen. Yes, it needs
banana,
to smell like
go bananas.
Yes.
See, I'm so glad it doesn't. Can we rewrite the rules? This is better.
She's trying to.
I think we all are.
A Hefeweizen should not have banana. No, it should have bananas in it. There is no banana in this.
I would like to point out, as Kendall's looking up, it should have fruity esters that
are tropical forward. That's what it should say.
Well, I thought there were Heinz Gebot. Where did it include banana?
Yeah. It shouldn't be watery.
I think there is like a tiny hint of
a fruitiness, if you will, but it's not.
I can think of 30 heffies that are better than this. So.
And that's what's nice about it.
Yeah. So sorry. The overall impression, per the BJCP, is a pale, spicy, fruity, refreshing wheat based ale.
No fruit.
Wheat based ale.
And that's what this is.
Yeah, I think it is.
No fruit.
Nails it.
Man. So.
There you go.
I don't know.
Tough and, for still don't know.
Despite what Mike said.
Here's the thing. Here's the
crazy. In spite of Mike. That's right. Yeah. In spite of Mike.
Here's the crazy thing about these style guidelines is the flavor can be low to moderately strong banana and clove flavor.
There you go. So you've that's got a wide range.
Basically, you can have none or you drove a Mack
truck through none.
So you put wheat in it.
It's okay. Really rare you see low to moderately strong. That's a pretty wide range.
In spite of Mike, we're going to rate this a 4. No, it's a 4.
It's on principle. It's on
really principle. Well done.
For what it is, it was a pretty tasty beer, but that style should
be all the stuff on the pour. This is
my least favorite.
I'm going to write a letter to the BJCP. They just need to get rid of this.
I like it, but if I was sitting in the Dovetail tap room, I would just probably drink the Helles Lager over and over again.
Yeah.
Well, 100%. Sure, because honestly, who really seeks out a Hefe?
I would be drinking that Saison.
All dirty, you know what?
Monkeys.
Dirty people. No,
but I mean, if you have a good variety like we have here in front of us from Dovetail, are you going to go to the Hefe as your first pick?
I would like to disavow all.
Somebody tell me, or write in if you know, is there a Hefeweizen-only brewery out there in the world? And if there is,
please, okay, Hefeweizen drinkers, don't be mad.
Please shut down immediately. but I'm pretty sure there's not.
All right, fine. Let's get to a bonus beer.
A bonus beer.
Exactly.
Ooh, good.
So what
raspberry Hefe.
Okay. What we're that talking cruel, about, man. Folks, is the 2020 Creek. 6.5% ABV. Every July, they spend a day destemming Michigan-grown Ballantine cherries from their year's harvest.
Machi.
They destemmed nearly 2 tons of cherries to make this vintage of their creek, which then spent a year on their 1 and 2 year old spontaneously fermented beer.
Hmm. 2 tons of cherries.
I like this beer, and the reason that is sticking out to me is it is not overtly tart. Belton cherries are sweeter, and I really like the choice that they had, you know, in making this, and this is very well balanced. I love this beer. I think it is very well executed.
This is a nice creek.
This is a really great creek.
Well, and you hit on that. A lot of creeks are really tart. Overly tart. This one is it's there.
Yeah.
But you it just kind of blends in with the rest of the flavors. Those cherry flavors are so beautiful.
I think the acidity jumps in at the front and then goes away. It's like,
barely there. It's not off-putting, and it's in good balance with, you know, the rest of the sugars that are there. There's
some kind of spiciness in there that I like, and it's just...
Yep.
It's a very interesting beer.
And the aroma on this is absolutely stunning.
This is one example of why beer is so superior to wine in every
I would, you know, it's really funny. Way. It's really funny you're about to say that
the two wine people here at the table are going, no.
Well, I was thinking to myself that you were talking about that spicy scent. It was like, it reminds me a lot of like some whole cluster grape.
Yeah, but way better though, right? I mean, like
making me think: could I do like whole cluster? Like, if they didn't destem it entirely, would that totally screw things up? Yeah. Would it give you a more
woody?
I don't know. Would it give you a woody?
Yeah, would have been asking? More vegetal for sure. You know, we've had a lot of great creeks, you know, on the show. I really loved
Cripple Creek,
New Belgians. I loved, that was a really great, was it Transcontinental, Trans something?
Bone Creek?
Bone. Yeah. Yeah, we've done Bone before.
Bones. The best creek.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I really love the Firestone Walker, Creaky Bones. That's good as well. This is, But the key thing about this is absolutely the balance. And so I really love this. This is
very well done.
Yeah. This is, and there's just that slight hint of balsamic-iness.
Yes.
From like that I get from the Bones Creek too.
Yeah. I want to serve it over some nice fresh greens.
Okay. We are going to rate this beautiful 2020 Creek a 5.
Wait, you want to serve this with that Southern Grist beer? Oh,
no,
wait, that's mixed greens.
No, I like fresh greens, real greens, like a nice salad.
I love the Saison.
What the best of flight. Great, yeah. flight, great flight, though. Yep. And I mean, cheers to Dovetail for doing some really
Who
good
knew
stuff.
Germans knew how to make beer? I mean, like, weird.
All right.
I might even go to Chicago.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for another great Suds episode. Yes. Good old boy, Kendall. Thanks so much for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Hi, June. Good old boy, Mike.
I was mostly right all day today, but anyway.
Says
thanks for joining us. Come back and join us once again. Please keep on sipping.
Good old boy, Drew.
The beer was delicious. The egos were as large as ever. Myself included, I will very much enjoy my next time.
It's a great day, right?
Absolutely.
Good old boy, Dave.
Beer up, wine down, baby.
Man, stab me.
This is good old gal Juliana. Thank you for joining us. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.